Okay, and he handed me a deal I couldn't refuse. It was real simple. Die and go to hell or get your act together. Hey, you know, why did you tell me in the first place? See, there's people in this tent right here that have been stuck in the weed patches too long. They've just been stuck there too long. And I just want to get the old rooter, the weed whacker out and start whacking at these things. And it might sting a little bit, and it might hurt a little bit, but so what? I survived. Anybody else can survive if they want to. And not only survive, but overcome. Overcome that weed patch. Graduate. You've been a Christian for 20 years? Fine. Graduate. You've been a believer in Jesus Christ for 30 years? Graduate. Become a doer. Because if you sit on a pew, it ain't going to work. For the kingdom of God to work, God puts His leaven in you. You remember Jesus said, "How shall I liken the kingdom of God? It's like a woman that took a little leaven and hid it in 3 measures of meal. And soon the whole lump was leavened." First of all, I'm the lump. And God put a little bit of Himself in me. And I just sit there being a lump. A lumpy lump. And the leaven goes to work. And He starts working on me. And I start saying, "Gee, I want to read the Bible more. Gee, I want to pray more. Gee, I want to understand this." And pretty soon, I got Jesus popping out all over me. Huh? I walk in a hospital room. Walk in the door. Boom! Jesus pops out. Raises a woman up out of a coma. That's what Jesus wants you to do. And all it takes, it's not what you do, it's what you allow Him to do. Just let Him put a little of Himself in there and then back up and relax. Let Him handle it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Where was I going? It's time to play a song. You know, I remember now something I was supposed to do earlier, and I got to flapping my tater trap, forgot all about it. Scott, the Lord showed you a couple things, and I want you to share them.
Yeah, praise God. A bunch of neat stuff has happened since I came to the Lord, which was 6 months ago. And it's funny because it was prophesied by this ministry some 7 years ago that that would one day occur, that I would come to the Lord. And I laughed hysterically and said, "No way, never." And probably 2 or 3 months ago, we were all in my house having a Bible study, had come to the Lord. And I said, "Sing, no way, never." And the next day I was singing. The God that we worship is a mighty God who delivers His people with a mighty hand and who walks into people's lives and turns them upside down according to His good pleasure. And interestingly enough, I was praying the other day and the Lord showed me a few things. One of the things the Lord showed me recently that I thought was interesting is that Lucifer, the fallen angel that was cast down from heaven, knew God but didn't believe Him. So when God established this world, He established a situation in which to know God, one must believe God first. Knowing and walking in the power of God first requires that we have faith and we believe Him. And then it just happens. And it's astonishing. I remember when we first started studying the Word. And Steve brought the Word down. Steve was a minister up in Northfield, and he brought the Word down. He's also an attorney, but we don't tell on him all the time. Richard told on him tonight. But Steve brought the Word down, shared the Word with us. And my wife and I started reading the Word each day. And it was amazing. Because the Word of God, the King James 1611 Bible, comes alive. It is a living Word. A Word that ministers to those who have faith, as we talked about just the other night in Hebrews 4. When mixed with faith, the Word of God comes alive and teaches us things that a person without faith would read that Word and say, man, that's crazy. Or, man, I don't get that. But the Word of God is a living Word, and the Spirit of God lives in that Word, and the Spirit of God lives in us. And together, we have revealed knowledge of the Most High God, the Alpha, the Omega, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And an astonishing thing happened as Steve was ministering to me, and we learned the Word, and I went down, I was kind of stumbling and bumbling. I believed God, and I had I was happy. I mean, I was rejoicing that I had come to God, and I was filled with joy and bubbling over. And I went down to one of my oldest friends, a guy in Connecticut who I grew up with, and his name is Robert. And, this tape, I'm sure we'll get him a copy of this tape. He may be up in the next couple of days, interestingly enough. But I went down to visit him. My wife and I went down there, and Gail will remember. We went to visit him, and I started talking about Jesus. And it was funny. It was like my tongue was tacked to the top of my mouth. I couldn't say, and I never am at a loss for anyone to tell you. I mean, I always had something to say. So I couldn't talk. I mean, I couldn't. He would ask me a question about the Word, and I couldn't remember anything. It was a disaster. And I'm thinking, man, oh man, this just can't be. I mean, the day before, the Lord had shown me a whole bunch of different things in the Word, and I could have shown anybody anything, and I thought it was going to be great, and I was going to be able to tell this guy, and he was going to come to the Lord, and everything was going to be great. Didn't happen that way. He essentially rejected me, rejected God, and said, you know, you're off the deep end. You've always gone too far with things. You ever hear that about yourselves, Christians? You've gone too far with things. And I mean, my wife and I left. We were pretty despondent about the whole thing. Calls up the next day, said, you know, I was thinking about what you said. I don't know what it was I said to make anybody think, but he said, I was thinking about what you said, and I went looking for a Bible. I couldn't find my Bible, but I found my uncle's Bible that happened to be a King James Bible, and his uncle was a war veteran, had some respect for his uncle. So he started reading the Bible on occasion. And, interestingly enough, it didn't all end there. And he called up when the revivals were all starting back in July, and I talked to him, and he was one of the most contentious. He's so contentious. I do a radio program, and I'm often confronted with people that are filled with knowledge of the word world. And when you tell them that in order to understand God's word is discerned spiritually, and the wisdom of men is not appropriate, an appropriate tool for discerning God's word, they look at you like, you know, you're a little bit off the edge. And, I get trapped with these people for sometimes an hour at a time on a radio show. Steve's been there with me before and done it and found what it's like. You know, normally we can kick the dust off our sandals and split if it turns out to be something that is not proving to be glorifying to the Lord. If they don't want to know the Lord, I mean, what's it to me, right? I'll walk away. And in this particular case, I talked to this guy on the phone. We've been friends for 30 years, so I'm talking to him on the phone, and I said, look, I want to know if you've considered this Jesus thing or not. Now, I wouldn't let it go. I just kept after him with it. Oh, and he really got shook up. And he was contentious. And I mean, every reason. And he says, look, he says, you say you talk to God, and he talks to you. He says, that sounds kooky. How can that be? He thought I was off my rocker. And I mean, he tried to prove God's word was wrong. When I was on the phone with him, he did everything any atheist or any person that had committed themselves to unbelief would do. That's what the world is doing all the time. That's the war. When we talk about making war in the heavenlies, that's the war that we as believers face each day. The world stands against our faith, as Satan stood against God when he was Lucifer before the fall. Our faith today, where the power of God is ministered through our faith, is all that stands between the rest of the world that can be saved, that can be redeemed, that can come to Jesus Christ through anything we might do or say as His ministers. Our faith and His power working together are all that's necessary to bring these people to salvation. But if we don't do it, it doesn't get done. In the case of Robert, he was so contentious, I thought, and I mourned. I told my wife, I said, man, I said, this guy Robert, he's not going to accept the word. It's too bad. You know, he was going to come up this summer, come to the revivals and whatnot. Well, I've got a website. I put my testimony of how I came to the Lord up on the website. And You know, in my testimony, I talk about how the Lord, when I first accepted the Lord, not 3 or 4 days afterwards, that the Lord revealed to me. I'm driving down the road in my car. I have a lot of experiences with God in my car, so maybe want to don't be on the road when I'm driving. The Lord essentially, you know how you look at your life and it's like a straight line? You look back all the way to when you were born. You can see how things kind of happen. Well, the Lord turned my life just a little bit. And it was different. I could see in one case after another where before I knew His name, He protected me from things that would have destroyed me and made it impossible for me to ever receive Him. And when I was a kid, I was into all kinds of things. I was into drugs and all kinds of other nonsense. And what ended up happening is I had some of those unlawful spiritual experiences that we talk about sometimes. And the Lord showed me that He could even redeem those. And this guy, back to Robert, that I'm talking to, shared some of those experiences. He read my testimony. And he called me up this morning. He got me out of bed. I wasn't very happy. My wife will tell you, I was complaining as I was walking back up the stairs. I stayed up late last night. We talked about God, as we are wont to do sometimes. And he got me out of bed at 8:45. I was not happy. Went back to bed. Couldn't go back to sleep. Got up. Called him back. What do you want? He starts asking me about my testimony. He wants to know what this is all about. Because what I said in my testimony is that anything you've ever experienced in your life, anything, no matter what it has been, no matter what you have done, you cannot imagine the power of God and the power of Jesus Christ unless you believe. And when you believe, God will bring you into His kingdom and introduce you to that power in ways that are specific and unique unto you.
Amen.
All right. And he, by the end of a 45-minute conversation, accepted the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah and praise God. When he called me this morning, and this doesn't have anything to do with me, when he called me this morning, he was already a different man. Just as I was already a different man the day I decided to accept the Lord. The Lord moves in our lives and changes us in ways that we cannot always discern. Because He's God and we're not. And the God that we serve promises us, and anybody who hasn't read, this is where I'll give the mic back to Richard, John 17, which is actually the Lord's Prayer, verses, 20 through 28, the end of it, after He prays for His disciples, He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they may all be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me." That is the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to reconcile His people to the Father in heaven, that we might walk in power and stand in eternity and in His glory with Him. Hallelujah and thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know, church, it's time, it's past time, where Jesus said there in 17, and would you give me that last part again? You know, it's not good enough to tell people about Jesus. If you can't show them the power of Jesus, what are they going to believe? I've been to truck stops, so I'd go up to a big old trucker, and he'd be in pain, and I'd say, "How are you doing?" He'd say, "Well, my back hurts." I said, "You know Jesus?" He said, "No, I don't believe in Jesus." I said, "Be healed in Jesus' name. Bend over and touch your toes." And he'd get up, and his eyes would be big, and I'd say, "Now, you want to know who did that?" You see, a lot of people say, you've got to have faith to be healed. Well, if you're a believer, you're right. You do have to have faith to be healed. But you know what? A non-believer doesn't have to. Only you have to. Remember last night I told you about Jesus and the little boy, and I had the demon spirit, and the disciples couldn't cast that devil out? Got back over there later. What happened? The disciple said, Lord, why couldn't we do it? He said, because of your unbelief. He didn't say because of the Father's. He didn't say because of the Son's. He said, because of your unbelief. Christians, it's time we stand up and take the responsibility of being Christians. And if a person isn't healed, that's a non-believer. If a non-believer comes in this tent and they're not healed, it's my fault, not their fault. Now, if you're a believer and you claim to be a believer, I'll share it with you. But you got to believe. That's the rules. I didn't make them. But I'll tell you this, Pastor, it's a lot easier to pray for a non-believer than it is a believer. Because then it's only your faith that's at work. Read that last part again.
That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe.
That thou hast sent me. Now, how is the world going to believe that he sent them without the power? Huh? How are they going to believe? And you're not going to have the power until you cross the River Jordan. Not in the fullness. Not in the fullness. God will still operate at his discretion in spite of us. But if you want to walk in the anointing and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to get out of yourself. Leave this thing in the desert. Start walking in the Spirit. Be in the body of Christ and move on. Learn to love God, not the world. You know, I've never met a person yet that was in love with the world that came to Christ. Never have. Everyone that has come to Christ, they've come that I've known because God saw to it they fell out of love with the world.
Amen.
Now, Dan might get mad at me, and I pick on Dan a lot, but I'm not going to pick on him right now. I'm going to be serious a minute. Dan, back there in the back. Dan's a believer now. Amen? He was a doubter for a long time. Raised in the Church of Christ. His granddaddy was a preacher in the Church of Christ. Dan, for years, thought I was absolutely crazy till he came up on this revivals and saw the power of God. But Dan back there used to be a millionaire. Used to be a millionaire, and his daddy was a millionaire. And he ran with some of the biggest names in the country, in the music industry and everything else. And you sit there and talk to him, sometimes you just wonder. But he'd never tell you this, see? I'm telling on him. If he gets mad at me, I'll bear it. But he was a millionaire, and God stripped him. Because it was the only way he'd love God more than the world. The sad thing is, he could have stayed a millionaire if he loved God more. God doesn't want to strip us of anything. He wants to give us. But he will strip us down to the bones if he has to get our eyes off the world and on to him. Because once your eyes are fully on him, then he can bless you mightily because you will use that which he has blessed you with for him.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Everybody say praise God.
Praise God.
I'm through preaching. You, Pastor, you got something you want to say tonight? Come right on up.
Yeah, if we can get kind of serious, this will kind of soften things up a little bit. In this church in the West, the pastor came out of one of the rooms he was in, and little Susie came out from Sunday school, and pastor met her in the hallway and said, Susie, what'd you learn today in school? And she said, oh, pastor, she said, I've learned everything in the Bible. And he says, oh my, everything in the Bible? And she was very serious. Said, oh yes, I've learned everything. I know everything in the Bible. And he says, oh, please, tell me. Tell me, It's in the Bible. She says, well, let's see. Mommy and Daddy's marriage license and my birth certificate and the meeting down the street tomorrow. And he kind of grinned. And then to finish, just, I'm not going to take any time here. I could go on. I'm loaded. But I'm not going to take time tonight because the Lord's been dealing with me a lot in several areas. And I'll just share this real quick. This is another little story. Just to help you tonight as you leave, God does have a sense of humor. You know, sometimes we get into serious meetings. The one thing you can be sure, God has a great sense of humor. Little Jimmy came home from Sunday school. Mom met him at the door. Mom said, well, Jimmy, what'd you learn in Sunday school today? He said, oh, Mom, I learned that in the beginning, God made us out of dust. Yes, said Mom. And what else? Well, I also learned that when we die, we go back to dust. Oh, Mom says, well, that's wonderful, Jimmy. You go on upstairs. He came racing downstairs very quickly. He said, Mom, come up here. So Mom went upstairs. Look under the bed. She looks under the bed. She says, yes, that's there. There's either somebody coming or somebody going. The Lord bless you.
Amen. Give him a cheer. You want to say something for the Lord? Come on.
Praise God. And God bless you all. Not one who normally stands up and talks, but I love God with all my heart. And I will go where God sends me and do what God wants me to do. And I do pray for everyone here that the Lord should direct you in the same manner. May God just bless you and bless the revival as this goes on. And walk as overcomers. Do not be overcome.
Amen. Praise God. Give him a cheer. Anybody else want to say something? Anybody want to take this microphone and say something for the Lord? Okay. Don't lock me down. You know, I never know, and I've told you this before, I never know what I'm going to say when I come in here. I pray and seek the Lord just for His Word. And my biggest prayer is, Lord, just let me bless these people. Let me bless them with You. And I know, because He had promised me one time, and I stand on that promise, He said, you'll never put this tent up again, that it'll be empty. And I look around here, and I see these seats, and not one of them is empty. And I know this. Others can laugh at me. The Lord has taught me a real interesting lesson on this one time. God showed me that He wanted me to take a tractor and trailer and run around the country with it one time. And I started praying. And He told me, He said, be specific. So I prayed specific. Time passed. And one day this young man came up to me and said, Richard, I got a tractor, trailer, and I'm not using it for anything. Can you use it? And I said, what color is it? See, I was specific. Said blue. I said, all right. Has he got one of them? I'll tell you how much I know about tractor trailers. Has he got one of them long noses or one of them snubby bulldoze noses? He says, it's a cab over. I said, all right. Two out of three now. Now, has he got one stack or two? He says, one. I said, I can't use it. And he said, why not? I said, because the one the Lord showed me has two pipes, one on each side. He said, well, it's got two pipes, one on each side. One's an air breather and the other's a stack. I almost let the Lord's blessing go. And I said, all right. And I took that thing and I used it to glorify God. And that's what I was talking about, going into these truck stops and ministering to truckers and all. But I've learned to be specific. And when the Lord showed me that, he said that he has a people that he's raising up. Now, we're probably out of tape.
No. You've got 15, 20 minutes.
All right, I'm going to share a vision. Because I think if I just share the vision I had, it'll be clear and I won't have to go into a lot of stuff. Back in 1974, God gave me a vision. And on this vision, there were two hills, two mountains. And in the middle of down in the middle, there was this great valley. And there was another hill. And I was standing on this hill, looking down at the valley and at the mountains. And there were people in the valley. And up on this one mountain, there was this great wide thoroughfare. And it had lights. It was all lit up. And up at the top was a beautiful gold castle. And it had love, peace, joy, happiness, and all this stuff above it. Then up this other mountain, there was this little narrow path. Just a little narrow, crooked path. Only one person could be on it at a time. And it went up to what appeared to be a cave. And a voice behind me spoke and said, "Son of man, speak unto the people of the valley and command them this day to choose who they will follow." So I spoke to the people of the valley and said, "People, choose this day who you will follow and which path you will go." And they began to mill around and began to move around. And a number of them went up this wide thing and they were laughing and giggling and, you know, having a great time going up toward the castle. There, two or three started struggling up the little path. Time passed. And the voice spoke again and said, "Son of man, speak unto the grasses of the valley and command that they dry up, that there be no bread." And I spoke to the grass and it dried up and there was no bread. And the people became greatly agitated and began to wander around. And the Lord spoke again and said, "Son of man, speak unto the people of the valley and command them this day, which path shall they choose? Who will they follow?" And I did that. And all of a sudden, the path really started going up this way. Really started to grow. People just started going up. But now a few more started up on the other side. And then the Lord again spoke, said, "Son of man, speak unto the wells of the valley and command that the wells dry up, that there be no water." And when the wells dried up, the people really became more agitated than ever. And started running around, and the Lord spoke again and said, "Command the people to choose their way." And I said that, and all of a sudden there was this mad rush going up this way, but then a steady stream over here. And I said, "Lord, what is it you're meaning? Tell me the meaning of the vision." He said, "The people in the valley are the churches. The bread is my word. The wells, the water, is my spirit." He said, "Now look at the mountain with the castle." And I looked at it. And it was a great, wide thoroughfare going up to it with all these lights. And it was just a beautiful thing. He said, "Now watch it." And as I watched it, the castle faded away. And there was a huge dragon's head. And it was breathing fire. And it was hell and damnation. And they were going into it headlong. The words above were self-esteem, self-love, envy, legalism, and other such things. But then I looked at the other. He said, "Now look." And I saw, as it were, that cave fade away. And there was a little tabernacle. Just a little tent. And through the doorway of that tent was the kingdom of God, was heaven. He said, "My way is narrow. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." It's not a group thing. It's an individual thing, you and Jesus. As a group, we can encourage one another. Amen?
Amen.
But it's an individual thing. So, I don't get upset when the tent doesn't have a lot of people in it. Because God has shown me that those who He sends in here are those He sends. You're here because He wants you here.
Amen.
And I've taken this tent out. Now, Terry made me cry one night when I told him to get up and share something for the Lord. And he really surprised me. Because he reminded the folks down in Cornish Flats that I brought this tent all the way to Alabama just for him. He was the only one. I will take this tent anywhere God tells me to take it. And if it's only for one person, then I've done my job. I'm not interested in large numbers. I'm not out to get a bunch of goats. Give me a few sheep.
Amen.
That'll follow Jesus. Amen? So I praise God for you, every one of you that are in this tent, and everyone that He's brought in this tent. I thank God for you because you're here, because He loves you, and because He loves me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Give me some traveling music, son.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
We know it's a burden for such a small crowd, so that's why I'm just saying we you know, if you feel led of the Lord to put something in the basket, you go ahead. I just can't, in good conscience, stand up in front of a congregation, big or small, and beg money. God knows what we've got to do, and He knows what you can do, so we're not going to be concerned about it. Amen?
Amen.
But I want you to know that God will bless each and every one of you and has blessed you and will continue to bless you, and you've been a blessing to me. Now, if you would join me in one thing, we're supposed to take this tent down Sunday afternoon. And my flesh, the old man in the desert, wants to take it down Sunday afternoon. I've been on the road now for two months.
Too solid, anyway.
Two solid months. And I'd like to go back to South Carolina and give Mike Dill a hard time and a few others. But if God wants His tent to stay up another week, I'll keep it up another week. But let's pray that He sends the people in here to hear it. Even if it's just a few. If He says just a few, I'll stay. But let's pray His will. And pray that I know whether to keep it up or down. Because my flesh can get in the way on some things. Other things, it doesn't get in the way. I don't let it. But I am human, and I will let it get in the way in some things. So keep me in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, now you can have the mic.
There you go. You know, one thing I want to say before we turn on another song, Scott was mentioning how the Lord will minister and minister His power in a unique way to you individually. And it's amazing when you come here and you come to the tents, like when I would start the Bible studies down at Scott's, the things that people would tell me, you know, the next week or the next day or whatever, I'd be like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, you're just kind of sharing the Word, doing different things. The Lord's doing all kinds of stuff in people's lives, and you're kind of like, wow. I didn't know that was happening. That's pretty cool. And the reason why I was mentioning it, you know, in this tent and during these past few weeks, a lot of people have had some interesting experiences. I know Dan, who's back there, came a major skeptic. In fact, he used to call one of his other skeptical friends every night. Actually, he used to call him and email him and stuff like that all the time about, you know, these different things. Is this real? Is that real? Is the other thing real? Is this, oh, is this really true? Is that really true? Do you think it could possibly be true? And, I mean, it was just amazing. And I'd get on the phone with this guy. He'd call him out in Texas. He was actually in California. He'd call him on a cell phone. He's driving from one meeting to another. And Lord would have me talking with this man. And I know that the Lord not only healed Dan personally so that
you know, he might be able to deny it if he dealt with Scott that way or somebody else. But he healed Dan personally, and he couldn't do anything about that but say, it's done. What happened? And the Lord also opened up Dan's eyes, and Dan saw the Shekinah glory of the Lord in this tent. And that was personal for what Dan had need for. And praise God, I haven't seen it. I know it is here, but I did not see it. And I know, you know, Richard talks, and he's been saying this for some time about folks, about, you know, how all these seats are full. And that the Lord has angels in here who are holding these seats until the people that the Lord has to come in, come in. And I know that this man back here, and it's funny, I'm going to let him come out here from back there for a moment. Come on out here, Tim. But I'll let him share something that he saw over when it was down on Elm Street, right?
Actually, I've seen two things, Steve. Okay. The first thing happened down in Corners Flat, I think I pronounced it right. Okay. And that there's where I did see the Lord come into the tent and stuff there. Just keep it real brief. Then we're up in Berlin, Vermont. And Davey was doing a little gift giving that the Lord gave him to give. And I'm back here and I got the headphones on. So I hear everything that comes through these mics. But Davey was prophesying to this one woman. And all of a sudden, this loud voice crying in the background. And I'm looking around. Okay, who with a mic is crying? I can't hear nothing but this person crying. Well, afterwards, I talked to Davey about it. And come to find out, what I heard was the Spirit of the Lord crying for this person's soul. Now, that's an eye-opener there, too. But earlier tonight, Davey mentioned how the Lord's promised in all these chairs are filled with angels. Well, he's right. I've seen it. I've seen angels sitting in these chairs. And every time someone comes in, an angel gets up and leaves. And I've also seen where his angels are outside this tent fighting. And this is a scary thought sometimes when you can see this stuff. It's like, why, Lord? Why are you showing this to me? But it's a lesson that I needed to learn. And I still haven't figured it all out. But when I do, I know it's to my best.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, as Richard says, I know that we're staying here at least till Sunday, and if the Lord wants us to stay longer, keep us in prayer that not only Richard but all of us will go, and let not this flesh get in the way, because it has been, I know for the team here, many of us drive down every night from Vermont, an hour and a half down and then an hour and a half back, and we work all day. And so sometimes we get a little tired. And we need your prayers and getting back. I mean, I was knocking myself out driving down the other day. I was like slapping myself, trying to keep myself awake because Charlie was sleeping in the seat next to me. I was like, man, I better make it here. Please, Lord, help me out here. And I have been known. I mean, some people laugh about my driving ability. I say I'm a pretty good driver except when I'm asleep. I do all kinds of crazy things when I fall asleep behind the wheel. But, the fact of the matter is the Lord is able. Amen. Yeah, he's able to take no matter what kind of strength we'd have, he can handle it. And, just keep us in prayer and keep this town in prayer, keep one another in prayer, and I hope to God I see you back here tomorrow night. It has been a blessing to me and I know to all of us to share with everybody here. And we thank God for each and every one of you.